the entire cast. He knows more.
Hofov Cheshvan, Wednesday the 19th of November, Rabbi Rifol Goldblatt, Milchik Fleishik Parav in the dishwasher.
In people's households. Dishwashers were actually invented at the end of the 19th century, apparently, but they didn't become something that any normal person would have until the 50s or the 60s. Since then, there have been many, many tshuvas written by the Gedolei HaDoros, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Yosef, many others, about how exactly to treat a dishwasher, what the din is, what you can do, legabi milchik, fleishik, and parav, what you can wash simultaneously, what you can wash consecutively, and so on. I'm not going to speak about the very common question of what happens if at the end of a wash you find that there's a milchik fork in the fleishik dishwasher. That's an extremely common question. The gabi questions of b'dieved, there are far more tziruvim, there are sveikas, there's the fact that the dishwashing soap is probably poigim, whatever would have been making anything treif, or whatever. We'll come to why you can't use that lechatchila soon. I would point out, however, that as I'm going to explain, in our dishwashers there is no bittel, and therefore anyone who holds that you do have to say that milchik fork is treif also has to treif every single fleishik kli and the whole dishwasher. If the fork had any mamoshes of milchik butter, cheese or milk on it, then everything in the whole dishwasher is equally treif. Because, as we're going to see, there is no bittel in dishwashers. So, Rav Moshe Feinstein has many tshuvas about dishwashers. The first one is written, he writes in the 50s, this is in Erechaim Chelik Aleph Sim Kuf Dalet. He calls it the new machine that has just been introduced, the dishwasher. He speaks about it, and in more or less all the tshuvas he takes the same view. In some he's slightly more machmir, in some he adds different sforas. But basically his point is that a dishwasher, his matzias of a dishwasher, was something that filled up with water from a boiler. You had a tank of hot water in your house. The dishwasher filled up with water from that. Therefore, he points out, it's only an irui klirishin, it's not a klirishin itself, which makes a difference for how he's approaching it. And it's also clear in the tshuva that he's talking about something that fills up with water and remains full. He even discusses the option of leaving the water in when you empty the dishwasher and putting new things in to be washed with the same water. Somehow, there must have been some way of containing the water, and that water which was circulating in the dishwasher would remain in the bottom or something, and therefore he speaks about the suggestion that any dirt that was, it must have been top loading presumably, yeah, any dirt, any food that's remaining in the dishwasher, that was in the dishwasher while the wash was running, would have been bottled in the water, because he also says, presumably they were less efficient, he also says you have to rinse off every kli before you put it in the dishwasher, otherwise it won't get clean. So therefore there's not that much mamoshes on the things that are being washed in the dishwasher. And it's filling up with water, so obviously you have far more than 60 times the volume of the meat, let's say, that's in the dishwasher. And he discusses how that bittel would apply and so on, and therefore his basic line is that it's more or less lechatchila. He says lechatchila, better to empty the water, but it's completely lechatchila to wash milchik, a full milchik load, after you've washed a full fleishig load. Not simultaneously, but to put a meaty load in. All of the meat that was in that is already bottle. Relying on bittel once it's in the water is completely lechatchila, and you can afterwards put the milchik load in, and he discusses that. In one of the tshuvas he says perhaps it's ideal to change the racks, but his basic line is that that would not be a problem at all. However, as I've said, as you've immediately noticed, our dishwashers are completely different. Ramosha is speaking about a dishwasher that fills up with water, which is why he can talk about the concept of bittel. He's talking about a huge volume of water within the dishwasher. Comparative to that volume of water, the volume of meat or milk, depending, meaty or milky foods, depending which you're doing, will be negligible. It will be less than 1 in 61, and therefore that will be bottle. And therefore there's no question, it's obvious that the next time round, he says lechatchila you should be choshesh, perhaps some little bits of mamoshes would be left in the dishwasher, you should rinse it through perhaps, he says in one of the tshuvas, but his basic point is that everything is bottled. Our dishwashers don't work like that at all. All dishwashers nowadays have an element inside them. That's the first point. The element is actually contained within the cavity of the dishwasher somewhere, sometimes concealed, sometimes open. If you open a dishwasher, you can often see down at the bottom in the floor, there's sort of often a round cavity, and at the bottom of that is the element. But there's always an element within the dishwasher. And more importantly, the dishwashers obviously do not fill with water. There's a relatively small amount of water in the bottom of the dishwasher, which might itself still be enough to rebuttal the mamoshes we're talking about, because there's not going to be that much meat in the dishwasher, but it fills it's a certain amount of water, and then that water is jetted around within the cavity of the dishwasher, and that's designed such that it has circling things which spread it, and it diffuses, and so on, and therefore the hot water is being spread around through the whole cavity and hitting all of the dirty plates and other utensils at speed, and therefore the combination of the heat and the energy that of that thing hitting it will remove that. So, l'chaira, bittel, we can't apply. We can't take Moshe's heter of bittel and say that that's in any way relevant to us, because, not necessarily because of the volume of water, that might be enough, I don't know, it could be enough depending how dirty the things are, depending on how much water actually comes in, but because we're not talking about something that is filled with water, so a piece of meat that's sitting on a plate is not falling into a tank, a volume full of water, in which any bleas that come out of it would be bottled. What it's doing is being thrown around within the dishwasher by a jet, and that jet is not necessarily so big, and therefore you can't be mevatel the bleas that's coming out of it. What we need to know is, the first question we need to know is, according to Rav Moshe, for our dishwasher, according to Rav Moshe, since the water was filling up from a hot water tank, from a boiler, it was obviously only an Irui Klirishon. Are our dishwashers Klirishon or Irui Klirishon? We'll get to why that's relevant afterwards. You might be thinking that we hold Irui Klirishon is also Mavashal. We know Hilchas Shavuot is Mavashal less, but it's still Bishal. There is a difference in Yeridah that's not necessarily strictly accurate, and there are differences which we'll get to. So it's important to know, are our dishwashers Klirishon, the water that's jetting around within the dishwasher, is that considered a status of Klirishon or of Irui Klirishon? Now, obviously, the water that's heated by the element, the water that's filling the cavity at the bottom, in the normal cases, is water that's in the Klirishon. So, effectively, what we have is a pot that's been, if we can look at it like that, is a pot that's been designed so that it has a smaller base, and then it gets much wider and squarer as it goes up. It's all one piece, it's all one utensil, it's all been properly fixed together and so on. And therefore, effectively, you have in the bottom of the pot a little bit of water, and then the water is jetting around within the pot higher up. So is that water that's moving around within the same pot considered Klirishon or not? So you probably know that the Shuvah Sarosh quotes in the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridesim and Tzadi Beis, that who proves from Mishnah and Machshirin that Zeah has a din of Mamoshes, that steam that rises from a pot of milk, that's the case of the Rosh, steam that's rising from a pot of milk has the same status as that milk. Based on that, the Trumas Adeshin Paskins, also quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that if you heat a pot of milk below, on the top of the stove or the fire, below the place where the meat is hanging to dry, so the meat is not hot, the meat is just hanging above the fire so that it will dry out, and that steam that comes up from the meat, from the milk pot, hits the drying meat. So the Trumas Adeshin says, if the milk is cold when it hits the meat, then that's fine. You should wash it off perhaps, but it's not going to be a problem, because since it's cold and the meat is cold, nothing goes inside. If, however, the Trumas Adeshin says, either the milk is hot, the steam that's coming up at the moment that it hits the meat, or the meat, in a different case, if we're talking about a pot of meat on a fire that's hit by steam and is even cold, in either of those things, the steam will go completely through it from side to side. It's nivla b'kuloi, it goes through the whole thing, and therefore you have to have shishim against the complete volume of all the milk in the pan, as the Shuvah Sarosh says, and that's what he paskens. So, the chiddush of this Trumas Adeshin, besides the dinim of Zeah, there's a Shuvas Abachsion Memalev who says that this is an enormous chiddush in the Chumrah of Zeah, and he's not very keen on it, and Shlomo Zalman was quite maker in certain cases. But besides the chiddushim in the Sugya of Zeah, there's a big chiddush in this Trumas Adeshin regarding the din of Klirishon. We know that if something falls into a Klirishon, if something is in a pot on the fire, you have a mixture of milk and meat in the pot on the fire, then the piece of meat, the milk goes through all of it from side to side. If something is not in the pot, but even if a pot was taken off the fire and put down on something, kolshken, if something was poured out of the pot onto something, then that has a din of tator kvar. Since the lower thing is cold, that prevents the heat of the upper thing from permeating, from infiltrating right through it from side to side, and it only goes in a kadei klipa. That's a gemara in Pesachim, daf ayin hei beis ayin bov amud, quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in Sadi Aleph Sif Dalad, and Kufhei. So that's the klal. Now the Rashba writes, paskened by the Shach in Siman Sadi Aleph, that if you have something which is moving from underneath and comes from underneath and hits something, although the Gemara says that the tatar is goiver, that the lower one is the one which has the extra power and overpowers the strength of the upper one, the Rashba says, paskened in the Shach, that that's lav dafka. It doesn't mean specifically because it's the lower one. It means it's because it's the moving one. So if he's talking about a case of something that falls into a pot, and then the Rashba asks why, if it falls in, then it will gradually sink to the bottom, and then it will turn into the lower one. So that's the question that the Rashba is answering. But if you have a splash of liquid that is coming up out of a pot and hits something, then although that's coming from underneath the hot liquid and hitting the cold thing or the other way around, the one that's splashing from underneath is not the tatar, that's called the ilah, that's what we would call the upper one, and that is overpowered by the other one, and therefore that will only go in kadei klipa. So why does the Trumas Hadeshen say, and the Shulchan Aruch passes this, that steam that's rising from a pot will permeate through this cold meat all the way through? This steam is moving. It's hitting the stationary meat which is hanging above, and the meat is cold. So why does he hold that it goes all the way through? And it can't, because he argues on the Rashba and says that it does depend on the upper one, because then the opposite case should be true. He says that either way, whether the meat is hot or the steam is hot, either way it goes all the way through. The Teretz says that the Trumas Hadeshen has understood, which is, I think, only applicable in this case, that the steam that's rising from the pot is as if it's in the pot. It's all part of what's in that pot. It's all connected, because we're not talking about just a little bit of mist that's rising. We're talking about thick, visible steam that's rising from a pot. The thing is boiling and bubbling, and there's a proper amount of vapor that's rising from it. That is all as if it's still in the pot. That's part of the content of the pot. And therefore, effectively, although it's only hitting it because it's moving upwards, but it's moving upwards as if the contents of the pot are expanding. That's not considered a movement. That is as if both of these two things are bimkomam, both of them are stationary, and each one is hitting the other. There is a machlokas, the Ramah, the Marashal in Siman Kufhei, about two things side by side. Even though we makel in that, like the Ramah, that it's still only kadei klipa, that's because inevitably one or both of them are moving and are not considered bimkomam. Over here, the Trumas Hadeshen has made a very specific case, which the Chora could not exist in any other case, which is that both the meat, which is physically stationary, and the steam, which is rising, since that's directly rising straight up from the pot, the Bach explains the Trumas Hadeshen is only when it's rising straight up, not diffusing, rising straight up from the pot, which is below it, are considered stationary, and therefore either one can completely permeate the other one, and it won't only be kadei klipa. There is no tatar which will be gover on the other one. It's as if they're both tatar. They're both considered the lower one, and therefore it goes all the way through. That's the chiddush of the Trumas Hadeshen, which lemaisa we hold of lahalacha, though, as I said, Rosh Shlomo Zalman, in certain cases, this is relevant for adding water to a shalom pot on Shabbos, and the steam rising up and hitting the urn. Rosh Shlomo Zalman, in certain cases, with tzirufim was maker. But the basic concept of the Trumas Hadeshen is accepted meikadin, which is that the steam that's rising from the pot is considered equal, it's equated with the content of the pot, not only to be considered a moshes, but even to be considered clearishin. Another more straightforward application of the same din is in the Ramah in Yeredeh Tzadi Beis Zayin. If a drop of milk, for example, hits the outside of a hot fleishik pot, which is full of liquid, so according to many Rishonim, which most Poskim except the Aruch HaShulchan hold is the Ikar HaDin, there's a difference between whether it hits below the liquid level of the liquid, in which case we assume it just goes straight in the bottle and you can kasher it l'chumra, or whether it hits above the liquid level, in which case it's much more chumra and it can create much more significant problems. The kashering is definitely min HaDin in that case, and it can even trafe all of the food that's in the pot as well, depending how much is there. It needs 3,660 times its volume to be bottled rather than 60 times for the reasons we don't need to go into. Now, the Ramah says there that if you have a pot which is covered and is filled with steam, so the steam is rising from the liquid that's in the pot, so that we're talking about when it's covered, so the steam is actually contained within the pot and is circulating within that. So the Ramah says then wherever it hits, whether it hits on the lid, on the side, it doesn't make a difference, because everywhere that it hits is keneged horotiv, is below the liquid level. Since the steam which is rising from the liquid is all in that same pot and it's all connected to it, so that's all within the same clearishin. So what would we say, in our case, moving back to dishwashers, about a pot that has liquid at the bottom? We're not necessarily talking about the steam that's rising. There will be a certain amount of steam, but that steam probably diffuses. It's not. We're not talking about water that's 100 degrees hot anyway. There'll be a certain amount of steam rising, but something that's artificially pumped up from the original cavity and is still within the kli, but spreading around in an artificial way. So it's not rising naturally from the boiling water, like the cases of the Trumas Hadeshen and the Ramah, but it's being pumped out artificially upwards without moving out into a separate cleavage. It's being moved around within the cavity. So, l'chora, I would think that it's possible that this is not a din of clearishin. This is not comparable to the case of the Trumas Hadeshen and the Ramah. The Trumas Hadeshen and the Ramah are talking specifically about steam, because the steam is the natural phenomenon that when the water boils, when the liquid boils within the pot, the wet part of what happens to that liquid is that it turns into steam, and when it's steam, it rises. Since that's part of the natural process of heating up that liquid, so that would be considered still connected, that's part of the same pot, even if it's outside the pot, the translation says definitely if it's in the pot, which is the case of the Ramal, and so on. When we're talking about artificially moving something from its position and spreading it around, then even when it's within the pot, I don't see a makor from there to say that this should be called within a klirishon. I discussed this once with a Rav in Eretz Yisrael who held that it is called klirishon just because there's an element somewhere in the cavity, it's called klirishon, but I don't see why one should say that. L'chore, there's no makor for it. I believe I have a makor, a proof for my position, which is the tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak about our hot water systems, which Rav Eliashiv was makel against, but he held even more kal than the Minchas Yitzchak. The Minchas Yitzchak speaks about our hot water systems, where in the boiler the water is heated, it's then pumped. We're not talking about modern combi boilers, we're talking about the normal old-fashioned boilers with a tank somewhere in the house. So the water is heated in the gas boiler, that's then pumped up into the tank. Assume, even if there's an immersion heater or something like that, then that's not on. And that water is then stored in the tank, and then it pours down through the pipes to the taps. So Ryashev is supposed to have held, apparently held, that this is not even called irrigation at all. Our hot water, which is pouring from taps on Shabbos, you can't allow water to come into the boiler, but if your boiler is off, he held that you can wash up with that hot water completely, l'chatchila, apparently. Most Paschim, Shlem Zalman Obach, and Minchas Yitzchak take on that it is irrigation. However, the Minchas Yitzchak in his tshuva, when he explains it, he says that it's obvious that once the water has been pumped out from the boiler where it's heating into the tank at the top, that is not a klirishon. He says that in that tank it isn't a klirishon because it's not the place where it's being heated, it's not exposed to the element. The fact that it's all connected and soldered together is irrelevant. It's been pumped away from the klirishon. However, he says, since it hasn't actually gone into any other kli, it is still, even though it's now stationary in the tank, it's quite a chiddush, it's still pouring from the klirishon, and when it comes down the taps, the pipes to the taps, it's still pouring from that original klirishon, even though it stopped for a few hours in the middle, it's just taken a long time to pour, and it's still coming out. But he clearly assumes that the fact that it's been pumped away from this is, even though he's being more machmir in this machlokes, but he clearly says that this cannot be considered actually within a klirishon. If you're using the immersion heater, then in the tank it would be, and then the question would be the pipes, yeah, and then Ryashiv might agree. I suggested once to the person who told me this, Pesach of Rabbi Yashiv, that he was talking about hot water tanks in the specifically under the building, like they always are in Eretz Yisrael, but here
more
not.
More cold water comes in, and it's above
yes. Yeah, if more cold water is coming in, that will definitely be a problem. They're discussing what happens if it's done. Has it made any visual b'di'evid and so on? And secondly, if you've stop the access of the cold water, can you then use it? They're not speaking about a normal case on Shabbos. It's often over Yatzeledes. It can be below Yatzeledes. It's not always below Yatzeledes. If Shem Zalman held you have to be Mahmoud, the Yatzeledes might be 45 degrees. And the Chaznish held 40 degrees, but that would not normally be known.
Water in the boiler is not heated directly. It's heated...
It's heated in the boiler from the gas.
The pipe goes up through the boiler and goes down like that.
There's yeah, but that doesn't make a difference. Heating. Yeah, that doesn't make a difference. If it's coming from a fire, that doesn't make a difference. Told us Aishas K'Aish, the Moral says in Shavu's Lama Tev. Okay, so we've established... We have to move on. This is more or less the introduction to the shiur, so we'd definitely better move on. That the jets that are moving around within a dishwasher have the status of iri klirishon, which is it's moving around, and it's an iri from a klirishon. Now, the next point is, what does iri klirishon do in Yeridei? So there's a famous remor in Yeridei Tzadi Hesiv Gimel. We know that we pass as Mablek Shoshone, but we pass an Iri Klirishon Ki Klirishon. The Iri Klirishon has the status like a Klirishon, except that it will always be the Iloh approaching a Tatar, and therefore will only ever cook Kadei Klippa. So on Shabbos, you're not allowed to pour from a Klirishon onto something raw. if you pour hot milk from a Klirishon onto a piece of meat, then you've been Mavashal Kadei Klippa, and so on. What happens, the Ramah says, if you pour hot water, which is neither milchik nor fleshik, so you've just got your kettle, you're pouring that hot water, onto a piece of milk and a piece of meat, a piece of cheese and a piece of meat, which are sitting together. They're sitting together on a plate, and you pour hot water onto those things. So we would think that since iri klirishon is mevashel, just like a klirishon, but only a kadei klippa, so at the join of the two pieces, the piece of meat and the piece of cheese, which are sitting next to each other, at that joining point, a kadei klippa of each should be asa. That's what we would assume, because iri klirishon is klirishon. However, it's been counteracted by the tatar, so it only does a kadei klippa, but it's klirishon. The Ramah says no. The Ramal says, iriclerition, because it's not physically in the kli, is only like a clerition when we're talking about the iri itself. It can only do one thing. So, for example, if you're pouring milk onto a piece of meat, so that hot milk can permeate kedei klipa. If you're pouring water onto something, that can be mevashel kedei klipa. But if you're pouring something onto cheese and meat, so it has to actually perform two functions, it has to pick up the cheese and push it into the meat, or pick up the meat and push it into the cheese, that, says the Ramah, an iriclerition cannot do. So, for example, says the Ramah, if you have a washing up bowl full of milchik and fleshik things mixed together, both dirty, and you pour a hot kettle full of water all over the whole thing, at least b'dieved, nothing's happened. Nothing's treif, you can take it all out, rinse it off, and start washing again. However, the Shach and the Taz quoting the Marshal and others disagree with this. There are various kashas from other sforim of the Ramah. There's a stira from the din in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Samaches, which is that you're not allowed to pour hot water onto a chicken which has not yet been salted in order to loosen the feathers, because that will pull the blood out and then push it back in simultaneously. So that's a stira to the Ramah that the Shach asked. And basically, the Shach and the Taz pasken that we cannot rely on this Ramah except possibly b'makom hefsed merubah. We should not rely on this Ramah, and therefore even an iriclerition can take a mamoshus of cheese or meat and push it even into a kli, which is sitting below it, and trafe that kli. However, they both say that if you're talking about two clean kalim, you're talking about a milchik pot and a fleshik pot which are sitting next to each other, then they agree that although a bishul would trafe both of them, it would cross the blias between the two, and therefore the milk and the meat would mix and it would become bosa b'cholav and it would become asa. But an iriclerition can't do that. The Shach and Taz both agree with that. The Chochmas Adam then says that lechatchila we should be machmir even for the case of the two kelim. So how does that apply to our dishwasher? So if in your dishwasher you would put, let's say for example, start with the first case, the simplest case. Someone fills a dishwasher with milky and meaty, dirty kelim simultaneously. So what's happening when the jets are moving around and spreading the food from one side of the dishwasher to the other, because that's obviously what happens, eventually it will drain away, but while the jets are travelling within the cavity, they'll be carrying the mamoshes from one side to the other, what will happen then? So the meaty dirt that's sitting on the meaty plates will have to be choshes, that will travel onto the milky plates. The jet that then hits the two simultaneously will, according to the Ramah, that would not have been a problem, but according to the Shach and Taz, we have to pass them that that's treif, and that will, because that will push the blia from the meat into the milky plate and vice versa. And therefore, la halacha, pardon? The blia from the food. It will be mavliya from the food. Once it moves into the kli, it will become a blia.
The blia is from the dishes.
No, the blia is from the dishes, possibly also into food, but not into kelim. That's part of that sugya. So to wash meaty and milky, dirty kelim in the same dishwasher, there's absolutely no heter. L'chora, no one could possibly be matir, and to the best of my knowledge, no one ever was matir. The only possible tzad heter for this would be the fact that the dishwashing soap is poigim, which is a reminder of the Hesif Dalet about ash, and l'chora that we can't rely on that l'chatchila, definitely, but d'yevet perhaps we can, but l'chatchila we shouldn't do that, firstly because it's not clear that the soap would have dissolved sufficiently to be poigim anything by the time the jets start moving around. Secondly, the yevet holds that you can't be poigim l'chatchila like you can't be mevatalis l'chatchila. The dishwashing soap is not something to rely on l'chatchila, only once it's happened we can use that as an enormous tziruf, but not something to be matter anything l'chatchila. So we definitely cannot put milky and meaty kalim in the same dishwasher simultaneously. That doesn't take off enough. It doesn't take off. It's not always true either. Every dishwasher has that, but I don't. Cold? Are you sure they're stone cold? If it's, I think some of them wash it in hot before the soap goes in. Or the pre-wash.
The rinse.
No, they may not all be the same. When the water is moving, it can be... No, it's moving around, but that's like an iroi. When it's moving, it can still be boleh. What nivlaks to the water is not necessarily relevant, because that's probably going to be bottled, because then they clip while the water's moving around. The point is that when it hits two surfaces simultaneously, then it can be mavliya from one end to the other. Even when it's... No, the Ramah's also talking about when you're pouring the water, it's also moving. What about Rav Moshe's case? Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein was matir, as I mentioned, Rav Moshe Feinstein was matir taking out the meaty utensils, the meaty loads from the dishwasher, emptying that. And then immediately afterwards, he says, empty out the water. Perhaps in one place he says, l'chatchila, perhaps rinse it through. He's, okay. In one place he says, l'chatchila, different rats. But me'ikadin, he holds, you can take it out, put the next milky load in and wash it straight through, and you don't have any problem with that at all. Now, the heter of Moshe uses for that, which is that everything's always been bottled anyway, I've said, is not applicable to us. What would be the din according to us? So l'chayra, we have in this case, we have a situation which is dependent on this machloikas, the remor shach and tazen chof masada. When you've taken out the fleshik loads from the dishwasher, so it may not be perfectly clean within the dishwasher, you might have a little bit of dirt somewhere in the cracks and the filters and the crevices, all those things we can ignore. Firstly, because once it's already been through a full wash, it's definitely pogum. Secondly, because since we're talking about only the chashash of a jet actually carrying something and hitting it simultaneously, that can never happen with the little bits we're talking about. For Pesach, we would be choshesh for that type of thing because it might get into the element and then it would be mixed in with the water before it's jetted, and on Pesach it's not bottle. But otherwise, and pogum is not put on Pesach either, but otherwise we don't really have to care about the mamoshes that any little bits of mamoshes that are left within the cavity. If you look around and you can see that there's no significant amount of mamoshes, we can ignore the rest. The question is that for our purposes, l'chora, we have to be more machmir than Rav Moshe because we can't apply the bittul. And that's because when the fleshik load is sitting in the dishwasher and the jets are hitting that and cleaning it, the racks on which the fleshik plates are sitting will thereby become fleshik. The meat that is the meat or the grease or whatever it is that's fleshik that comes off those plates and hits the racks simultaneous with the jet is then nivla into the rack. And once it's nivla into the rack, those racks become fleshik. Pardon?
Plastic
spilea. Plastic spilea. It's machlokes, you can kasher it, but it's definitely... We don't hold it's not spilea, it's not glass. The walls of the dishwasher are metal. Yeah, the walls of the dishwasher would also be fleshik, but firstly you might be able to kasher those if they're metal, but also, I'll get to why that's not that's less relevant. If you then put a milchik load in, then firstly, according to the Chochmas Odom, what you've got is a jet of water hitting a fleshik rack and a milchik plate or pot simultaneously, which he says is a problem. Even the Ramah may well be agree with him lechatchila. The whole Ramah, I forgot to mention this before, the whole Ramah may well be only lechatchila, not b'dieved, not lechatchila, because we know from Simon Kuf Hei that even a klisheni lechatchila you can't put two kelim into, at least according to for the Ashkenazim. That's another machlokes in Tzadi Hei. The Sfaradim can be more makel than that, which is why Rav Avadia is. But lechatchila, we have to be choshesh. First, even b'dieved according to the Chochmas Odom, even according to the Ramah, that the jet that simultaneously hits the milchik plate and what we're now calling the fleshik rack will transfer the blia from one to the other and will make both of them treif. And therefore, we cannot rely lechatchila on that heter of putting the milchik load into the dishwasher afterwards.
And the fleshik is spun or milchik is spun?
No, b'dieved is always sveksvekas and poigam, and b'dieved will be much more makel once it's done. I'm talking about lechatchila, what we're allowed to do. If you have separate racks for your dishwasher, you can buy a spare set of racks and you take out the racks and put in the new ones, so you have and you make some simmons so you know which is fleshik and which is milchik, then l'chore would be completely mutter. Because although, as you pointed out, the walls of the dishwasher and the roof and the elements at the bottom and all these things are all fleshik, but all these things are not going to be relevant because, as I've said, an iri klirishin can only transfer a blia when there's a contact between the meaty and the milky pot. So as long as you make sure that you don't have big plates which are rubbing on the side of the dishwasher, which you should anyway be doing, you're not going to have a problem with that. The only potential problem is afterwards, once it dries it, when it actually fills up with hot air, which might be a clear issue, whether at that point there's going to be a problem. By then, it's quite possible you can rely on being poigam and lechoda, and it's not necessarily hot enough to be a problem, and also it's filling up with so much steam it might be bottled as well, so that's not necessarily a problem. So bottom line, Ligabi Milchik and Fleshik, simultaneously there's absolutely no heter. Even consecutively on the same rack for Ashkenazim, there is definitely no heter. Most Sfaradim followed Ashkenazim in this as well, the Rav Avadia Yosef was Meku. If you change the racks, Pashtus, you can be Matir. Ligabi Parav Kalim. So Parav Kalim in simultaneously with either Fleshik or Milchik, what would happen is we would then have to treat that paravkli as something with a little bit of a fleishik bliya. So it's a bit fleishik. And that's something we wouldn't rely on chatchila, although anything that's cooked in it would usually be bottled, but the Ramah in the end of Simon Tzadi Tesco, it's a Mordechai, you have to be goyzer after the cases you wouldn't be, even though it will always only be nut bar nut, which is itself only a chumra, but you know, maybe someone will decide to change this paravkli to milchik one day, maybe he'll use it for a dov acharif. That's not something we would rely on chatchila. One case that I would be matzil chatchila to wash a parav thing in a even with a fleishik load is the type of, as long as you remember that it's fleishik afterwards, is the type of kli that people only have one of. So for example, and keep parav. So for example, a deep fat fryer, most people would only have one and would never use it for a dov acharif, a real dov acharif. They would never change it to milchik. A bread maker, anything, a Shabbos kettle if you would want to wash it, anything like that you only have one of. So even if there's a masha who have a fleishik bliya within it, and even if that's not pogam, and even if, which is already a significant number of spekas, anything you put in it would be bottle. And even though the Ramah says lechatchila to be gozer with that, but we're adding another step in the calculation. If you would only use it once it's 24 hours from when it's been in the dishwasher, then you're talking about an atranat she'ini ben yomer, which the groy is matir lechatchila, and the chochma sodom is also matir if you have no other kli. There are plenty of tsurufim, and in that certain situation I would be asking. One case, which I have been asked, which l'chori is also mutzil l'chatchile, is after you've finished the fleishik load to put on a full load of parav kelim. Now in that case, since as I've said, we're not choshish for the little bits of mamoshes that are left, we're only choshish for the blias from the kelim, so parav a kli that is boileah from a fleishik kli, the Prima Godim says in several places, he gives two different reasons, which we haven't got time for, so that's another whole sugya. He gives two separate reasons for this, but parav a kli that is boileah straight from a fleishik kli, the Prima Godim says you can even do lechatchile. We don't have any problem with that. And for example, people do that. A lot of hot plates for Shabbos would have a din of fleishik if something once spilt on it. That has a din of fleishik, and lechatchile people put parav kelim on the same hot plate, even though it might get wet underneath. We don't consider that a problem. The water in it might be more of a problem, but the kli itself, we would be matir lechatchile. That's not a problem. So therefore, to put a full parav load, things that are designated as parav, there's a separate sugya of things that you haven't yet decided what they are, which is tzadi dalatif hei. But things that you've chosen should remain parav, and you can glasses, trays, anything like that, whatever you have, parav a pot, you can wash a full load of those. After you've emptied the flake, you look around the dishwasher, make sure there's no significant, depends on the dishwasher, but make sure there's no significant amount of dirt that's been left in it. Possibly rinse it through quickly with hot water, like Rav Moshe says, and then you can run a full power of load completely in chatchila without any concern at all.
Very nice. Super shameful.
Because power would always be the water.